So good to have all of you here on this Christmas worship Sunday. I'm going to ask that you would join me in prayer as we look into the Word of God. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you to thank you that we can have this day that we commemorate and we celebrate for over 2,000 years, Lord. Your people have done so. And Lord, we are thankful for what it means. I pray now that you speak to our hearts, Spirit of the living God. Would you illuminate these words for us so that we may appreciate you more and grow closer to you, and perhaps even some will give their lives to you if they have not already today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was Googling, and almost 40 years ago, I couldn't have said that when I was preaching, right? I was Googling. They would say, what in the world is that? I was Googling, what is the most common or most popular question that someone may ask? And I was shocked that the answer came out that when you Google what is the most common question, it is, what is my IP? I'm not even sure I understand what that means. I guess people Google and they want to know their IP address. That's the most common. But I went a little deeper and tried to find out what it is. And the most common question that people ask in this world is, how are you? Right? That sounds right. That's a question. How are you? And you can say it in all kinds of languages. Usually you meet somebody, say, how are you? Le ho, ni hao, whatever, right? These are the things that we do. And then you get very specific, and you can ask what is the question here and there, so forth. But what is the most common questions that people ask philosophically? Getting deeper, you know, to the meaning of whatever. And the number one answer was the meaning of life. What is the meaning of life? But you go a little bit more, and I think around 7 or 8 or so, you get that one question that, which I think is the most important question of all. What happens when I die? Where will I end up in eternity? Is there an eternity? It deals with that. Now, why do I bring this up on this Christmas Sunday? Because Christmas is about Jesus, and Jesus is about our eternity. That's what matters the most. I'm preaching from Isaiah 53. You say, wait a minute, that has nothing to do with Jesus. Jesus was born 700 years later. Why are you using Isaiah 53? Well, I want to share with you and give you a little background here, and then you can appreciate it. If you don't know Isaiah 53 that well, you want to go home and start reading the book of Isaiah, period. The prophet Isaiah wrote this book, and he wrote this book, well, just before kind of the four of the nation of Judah. It's after Israel already has been kind of collapsed and taken away, and now he's writing to a people to say, God has a plan for you. In the book of Isaiah is about that. In fact, if you want to know some things, those of us who went to seminary, we're taught these kind of things. Isaiah has 66 chapters, the book of Isaiah. And the first 39 chapters deals with judgment and condemnation from the Almighty God. The last 27 chapters deals with salvation and grace and mercy of God. Now, if you haven't caught it yet, you know what else has 66 in it? The Bible. The Bible has 66 books. And the first 39 books is the Old Testament. And it does talk about condemnation and judgment and so forth. And the last 27 books is the New Testament. It does talk about the grace of God, and it focuses upon Jesus. And so when we look in Isaiah, you need to understand it's probably the most quoted prophetic book in the New Testament. Jesus himself and others have quoted that. But in Isaiah 53, it gives a prophecy. The prophet writes a prophecy about a certain person. And it's amazing, amazing how on point every single thing that he says. Because you see, Christmas is about Jesus. Jesus is about salvation, the Son of the living God. And 700 years ago, before he was born, it was already prophesied. And so this is important for us. I want to share with you some thoughts here. There are three things in a brief message like today I want you to go take home and think back a little bit. The first thought is simply this. The people don't care about Jesus. He was despised. They didn't think anything about him. You see, you gotta understand something. People don't think they need to be saved. They didn't think they need to be saved 700 years ago before the birth of Jesus. That would be 680 AD. They didn't think they needed to be saved. Even though they saw what happened to the brothers and sisters in the north, in the nation of Israel, the 10 tribes of Israel, the Judah tribe, the country, the nation, well, they didn't think they needed to be saved. They thought they were fine. And if they were going to do something, they'll do something that'll take care of themselves. You see, people don't need a savior. They don't want a savior. They just want the system to work out. So back then was like that. And so when we begin to read this passage, in fact, in Isaiah 52, you can read more about that. It says, who has believed our message than to whom the arm of the Lord has been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender. It goes on describing Jesus. Described a simple person. And we know that the life of Jesus was like that. He was a carpenter's son. He was not a king who commanded an army. He was not this great warrior. He wasn't any of that. Who in the world would think that Jesus is their savior? Who in the world would think that they needed him at all? They had no idea who he was. They didn't care who he was. When he grew up for 30 years, everybody thought he was just a carpenter's son. But 700 years earlier, the prophet Isaiah wrote about Jesus, about this man, about how the people didn't care about him. You know, today, in our Sunday school class, actually, we began last couple weeks, and we talked about this world and what's going on in current events and so forth. People today are not interested in a savior. We're not. We're not interested because we don't think we need to be saved. We may be interested in our system. We may be interested in how we live our lives. We may be interested in fixing the world the way we want it to be fixed, whether we want to fix it in the way that maybe the left or the right wants to fix it. But we don't think we need to be saved. We don't need a savior. In fact, if you look through religion of all time, they don't talk about a savior. You know, if you're Buddhist, if someone is Buddhist, or even the kind of ancestral worship that Chinese do, get involved in, or if you are a Muslim, or you're Hindu, whatever, they have a system for you to follow. And that's why their educational system is like, you have to live this way, you have to do these things, you have to pay homage to these things. They're not talking about savior. There's no savior there for you. And so our world doesn't need a savior. We don't want a savior. And Jesus doesn't make any sense to us. Didn't make any sense in 700 B.C., the Jewish folk didn't understand it. Why would we want somebody like this? We want a king. We want someone massive. We want someone with strength and with an army, with an ability to do things. We want someone like a David, maybe. We want someone like a Solomon. We're not interested in someone like this. And so when Jesus came, he was born into a poor family. This doesn't make any sense. He grew up as a carpenter's son. And then he walked around with a ragtag group of guys, not very educated, not very powerful, not very influential. And that is a person that's going to save us? You can understand why Jewish people had no interest in Jesus. They looked at him and they said, who is this guy? All he does is blaspheme God. All he does is says things that we have no interest in. And this is what it is. So they despised him. And today, you know, it's interesting that the world continues to despise the person of Jesus. When you think about what the Christian can do or actually do, why in the world will governments be scared of Christians? I think about what's happening in Russia and China and the change that's happening. You talk about it, you can't even talk about it actually. Churches are being closed down. All the crosses are being taken off. Again, they're driven underground again. If you say anything about the love of Jesus Christ, and you share the gospel, you know the consequences are so dire. In fact, in Russia and China and a few other communist countries and places like that, if you share the gospel, to a person that's under the age of 18, that person then cannot go to universities. Can you imagine that? For Chinese people who esteem education so much, and that is just a no-no. Don't tell me. You're a Christian, I don't want to even talk to you, because you might cause me to lose my opportunities in the future. And certainly, we know that 53, 54 countries in this world, it is actually illegal to share the gospel at all. You can go to jail, you can be executed. And so this is what's happening in this world. It was happening 700 years before the birth of Jesus. It was happening when Jesus was born, on that first Christmas. And it was happening now. The world despises the name of Jesus. And it goes on here. Not only do they despise the name of Jesus, but the passage talks about something that's kind of interesting. Jesus was smitten by God. You see, some of the Jewish folks back then, they just thought, you know what? He deserved it. He deserved to be crucified. I grew up with a lot of Jewish friends, and they really thought that's what happened. He deserved it. He said bad things about our religion. He said bad things about our God. He said bad things about those things. He deserved it. And after he was executed, after he was crucified, those disciples just stole his body. That's basically the story that goes on now in the Jewish community. Now, I want you to understand, if you study scripture, you will know that there'll be a day, there'll be a time when the Jewish community will change and they will turn their lives to Jesus Christ. Can't wait for that. That's exciting. But that's what they thought. They thought. That's why. They thought the man smitten, Jesus was smitten by man. Oh, no. Not at all. Not at all. You see, the reason Jesus came, the reason why he was prophesied to come, was because we have a terrible need. We are sinners in need of a Savior. Whether we believe it or not, whether we know it or not, we are sinners in need of a Savior. Some of you, especially you've been following along as we go through the book of Romans, you know what Romans says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We need a Savior. We don't need a system. We don't need a religious way of getting out of anything, because we cannot. We need someone to save us, because our sin is too heavy to bear. We cannot get out of that for ourselves. No one can lift us up. They're all sinners, just like us. We're in need of a Savior. But in order for us to be saved, our sins have to be paid for. You can't just say, all right, I love you, all is forgiven. It doesn't happen, because there's a just God, a righteous God, a holy God, requires that all sins must be atoned for. Somebody has to pay for my sin. Somebody has to pay for what I've done wrong. Somebody has to pay for that. It would be me, except the prophecy in Isaiah 53. God was going to send somebody else. Somebody who had the capacity to do so. That's why Christmas is so important. That's why the birth of Jesus is so important. It is a birth of someone that can do that for me and for you. And it's interesting, as we go through it, the accuracies of this parable, this prophecy. It talks about Jesus, that he had no majesty to look upon. Nothing that we should be attracted to him. And he was despised and forsaken, verse 3, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. You can follow along in the sheet that I gave you. You don't have your Bible. And then in verse 5, this is important. The description of this 700 years before the birth of Jesus. He was pierced for our transgressions. See, Jesus came to suffer for us. And describes him as being pierced. You know how many times he was pierced, right? It's two hands, the nail holes. We know those. The feet as well. Two nail holes, four times. And then one more. Pierced five times. Five times Jesus was pierced for our transgression, for my sin, for your sin. So Christmas is about a being that was born to suffer for me. It goes on, he says, he was crushed for our iniquities. How many times was he beaten? How many times was he hit in the face, we read about? Crushed for us. And then it says, the chastening for our well-being fell upon him. They executed him for me. And finally in that verse it says, and by his scourging we are healed. Think about the accuracy of that. They took a thing to flog him, and they did that to Jesus. 700 years before it actually happened, the Almighty God gave to the prophet Isaiah to write it down, to record it, to tell us what's going to happen and what is needed for our salvation. And then Jesus was born. See, people think that they don't need a Savior. Why do I need a Savior? As long as I do these things, every religious system tells me that if I just do these things, if I would just give money to the poor, if I would just pray a lot to this God, if I would just live my life this way, if I do all these things, I'll be okay. A good friend of mine recently had a bout of cancer, and it's a known thing, it's nothing secret. But he went back to Hong Kong because they wouldn't treat him here. They said it's far gone. So he did. He went back to Hong Kong, and they treated him there, but there was no hope, and he passed away about a week ago. And in Hong Kong, they don't bury you, generally, I think. So it's cremation, and they had his ashes in an urn. Family's still there, hadn't come back yet. And they were going to put it somewhere. And I was talking to Barbara, and I said, you know, in Hong Kong, there are all these places where people who have died, cremated, they put these ashes there. And it's interesting, if you go to those places, you will see it. The relatives will come. And they want to help their loved ones who died. And in their mind, you see, because they don't understand Isaiah 53, they don't have the concept of a Savior that can save you and give you eternal life in heaven. They just have this idea that they are somewhere, they know they're somewhere, because they know the body didn't just disappear, because we know in our spirit that we have a spirit. There's something else. So somewhere they're living there, and they know that they need things if they're there, because they needed things here. And every culture's got out their ways, and certain things are important, so they will go there and burn money, of course, fake money, so that money will be transmitted to them. And it's interesting, it's not always just money. Sometimes they'll bring cars. They might need a car there. So you can go and buy a car, not a real car, a paper car, and you bring it to burn it. And of course, you're not going to get a Honda or, you know, Toyota. You're not going to do that. You're going to get a Lamborghini. That makes sense, right? If you believe this stuff. So they bring this paper Lamborghini that they bought, and they bring it there, and they burn it there in front of, you know, the place where they have to earn. And afterward, you feel pretty good, huh? Now, my brother got a Lamborghini. I think he would like a motorcycle, too. You go and get another thing. Get a motorcycle. You can do that. See, it's a system that we have because we don't think we need a Savior. We just need some help. We just need some help to get along, whether here or in the future or in the other part of the world, another world. Oh, are we so foolish? Are we so wrong? See, we really need a Savior. And Jesus is the Savior, you see. He's the Savior. Why is he a Savior? Because he's a son of the living God. Because only through him and by faith in him that the righteousness of God can be put upon us. We learned that in Romans. That's the only way. If Jesus is not the Savior, then we have no Savior. All we can do is hope, and that hope is not very good. But Jesus is the Savior. So he says here that he was pierced for our transgression. And then verse 6 goes on and says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Isn't that who we are? What we are. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Isn't that great? It just sounds so tragic, but it's so great. Because the sins of our lives, the past, present, and future, whatever it is, our sins, our iniquities, they have fallen upon Jesus. You see, God smote him. He was not killed by man. He was not punished by the soldiers or the Jewish folks. No, no, no. He didn't come here, and because of a misstep, like some religious folks will say, oh, man, you know, if he just did it right, that wouldn't have happened. No. He came here to do exactly that. He was the sacrificial lamb to take our place, and God smote him. God punished him. God killed him because he had to die for my sins. You see that? Because he's my Savior. You know what? Jesus is still the only hope for man today. I know our world, we try all kinds of things, all kinds of things. And even the Christian community, sometimes you want to be careful here, because even in the Christian community, we do things thinking that we can make a difference. You know, when I was studying seminary, one of the big deals was down in South America, there would be the Christian community that really believed that they can transform the terrible governments of Chile and Argentina, all these South American countries of dictators. You know, the Christians can change it. They're wrong. That's not what we do. And sometimes we get together, even in the Christian community, we have these kind of, you know, social justice warriors that we do. We're part of that. And we're thinking we're going to transform everything. You know, because we're good people, we're Christians. We are setting a system like the world does. It is not what the world needs. The world does not need another pious system. The world needs a Savior. Did you know that during the days of Jesus, they estimate, they're not sure, but they estimate, because of the Roman Empire, that upwards of between 15 to 60 million people were slaves. Were slaves. In the Roman Empire, let's go with the lower end, 15 million. 15 million slaves. And they treated the slaves like anything they wanted to do because they owned them. Did you know that there's not even one single place in the Bible, not through the words of Jesus or anybody else, that dealt with this issue of slavery? See what? Jesus doesn't care about slavery? Paul doesn't care about slavery? In fact, when Paul dealt with it, he dealt with, you remember, Onesimus and Philemon. He actually told a runaway slave to go back to his master. What in the world is going on? What kind of religious system is that? It is not a religious system, that's why. Because it is not about that. It is about a Savior that will save us from our sins. That goes back to the question we talked about in the beginning. What is the most important question in life? And that is, how do we get to heaven and spend eternity with Jesus? That's what it's about. It isn't about a system of fixing this world. It isn't about the system of fixing our families. It isn't about that. All those things will happen and can happen if it happened because of the transformed lives of God's people. But the most important thing about Christmas, the most important thing about Jesus, the most important thing about our message is that we need a Savior, and Jesus is He. And the world today, no matter how they think they're changing and transforming, they still need Jesus, and Jesus is still the answer for today. If you don't know Jesus Christ, what a great day to give your life to Him. You know, when the worship team comes up, if you want to, you can come up and sit with me. Sit up front. Barbara and I and a couple other people are here to pray with you and for you. Just do that. If the Lord has spoken to your heart about your need for a Savior, perhaps maybe you've been struggling, you know the Lord, and you know what, you just lost it, you know? You just haven't been following the Lord at all. Well, it's a good time to once again come before the Lord. Said, you know what, thank you so much for saving my life. Thank you so much for taking all that stuff upon you so that I can be saved. Want to do that? We welcome you to come forward. But during this Christmas season, as you go shopping, as you finish things and whatever it is, just give praise to God that Jesus is still the answer. He's the only answer. for us today. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. For sending your Son, Jesus Christ. Not to fix things in this world, but to save this world. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you that you came and you took my place. And you allow wicked people to hurt you and to kill you, so that my sins will be upon your shoulders, that you will bear each and every one of them, so that the answer for my question, how can I have eternal life, is already answered by trusting in you. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for that. And Lord, as we celebrate your birth, your entrance into this world, remind us again and again what a great and awesome gift you are. In Jesus' name we pray.